This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, 1 hour of radio drama every Tuesday at RelicRadio.com. Our first story comes from The Adventures of the Falcon this week. We'll hear The Case of the Talented Twins. That episode aired October 1st, 1950. That's followed by The Whistler and The Dead Man Laughed from February 19th, 1945.
Hello? Yes, this is the Falcon speaking. Oh, Grace. Well, I'm glad you called. I'll have to cancel out tonight, Angel. I'm all jammed up. Mm-hmm. Some girl I know just brought me a very unusual proposition, and I'll be hanged if I touch it.
The Adventures of the Falcon, starring Les Damon. You met the Falcon first in his best-selling novels. Then you saw him in his thrilling motion picture series. Now join him on the air when the Falcon solves The Case of the Talented Twins. And now, The Case of the Talented Twins. It's late evening in New York, and the yellow convertible tears down Riverside Drive. At the wheel is George Alexander, who operates the car as though he owned the streets. Yeah, Mr. Alexander is a big operator. And the blonde alongside of him knows it.
You warm enough, Masha?
Oh, I'm fine, Mr. Alexander.
My friends call me George. Now, where
don't... Oh, you passed it.
Huh?
You should have turned right on 76.
What for?
Well, that's where I live.
Oh, I'm not taking you home, Masha.
Now, really, Mr. Alexander...
George.
The only reason I consented to go with you was because Mr. Kemp introduced us.
You like singing at Mr. Kemp's club?
Yes, of course. What's that got to do with it?
It's got everything to do with sweethearts. I own the joint.
Oh.
Sure. Whose idea do you think it is for Kemp to give you a job in the first place?
I didn't know.
Well, anytime you don't know something, Masha, you just ask George. He's got all the answers.
Well, if you don't mind, Mr. George... I'd like to go home. Really, I've got a splitting headache.
That's okay. I have my boy fix up something at my place. Why don't you sit a little closer?
I'm perfectly comfortable over here.
Nice. Oh, too far away.
Please, Mr. Alexander, you better look where you're going.
Come on, Masha. Be sociable. What, do you want to sit there all
look
by...
Look out!
Huh?
You're going to hit that man!
Shut up!
You're not going to leave him lying there.
Why not?
He may be dead.
We can't do him any good.
Let me out.
Get your hand off that door, Masha. I'll let you go when I'm good and ready. And I'm not ready yet.
Yes?
I'm looking for Michael Waring.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Are you the one they call the Falcon?
When they can't think of anything worse. Come on in, Miss...
Davis. Ruth Davis.
Sit down.
Thanks.
Now, what can I do for you?
I'm not quite sure. Did you happen to notice an item in this morning's paper about a man being killed in a hit-and-run accident last night?
Yeah?
That man was my father.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I want you to find the driver of that car.
Why?
Well, isn't it obvious? That man murdered my dad. He murdered him just as surely as if he used a gun. I don't care what it costs.
Well, you should, Angel. I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that anything you invest in a case like this would be money thrown down the sewer. As I recall, the police don't have a single lead.
Oh, yes, they do. There was a man named Arthur Crane who witnessed the accident. He might know more than he's told them.
What makes you think so?
Call it a woman's intuition.
You know, that's greatly overrated.
Maybe, but there's no harm in trying.
Mm-hmm. What did you say this witness's name was again?
Arthur Crane.
Arthur... Crane. All right, Angel. I'll do what I can.
Uh, Here it is, Artie. Alexander George, real estate, 1792 Belmore. It's Elwood 06742.
Wonder if that's the right Alexander.
Well, it has to be. Didn't the license bureau tell you that was the name of the party who owned the car?
Yep.
Well, it's the only George Alexander in the book.
All right, hand me the phone. Yeah. What's that number again?
Elwood 06742.
See who that is, Will.
You expecting anyone?
Nope. Too early for Jack to drop around.
Just a second. Yeah.
You want the crane?
No.
Well, is he in?
Who is it, Pete?
It's some guy who wants to see you.
How do you do, Mr. Crane?
How do you do? My name is Mike Waring. I'm a private detective. Private detective?
Yeah, at the moment I'm working for Ruth Davis.
Who?
Ruth Davis. She's the daughter of the man who was killed last night in that hit-and-run accident.
Oh, well, sit down, won't you?
Pete, thanks. See if we got any beer on ice.
Yeah.
Don't bother, Mr. Rivers.
Jordan. Pete Jordan, and it's no bother at all.
Yeah, go on, Pete. Now, what can I do for you, Waring?
Well, according to the police blotter, you were the one who discovered Davis's body after the accident.
That's right. I was coming home from a club date.
Club date?
Mm-hmm. I'm a musician. Oh. I play piano with a small combo around town.
Mm-hmm. Well, go on.
Well, just as I got out of the subway, I saw this guy Davis laying in the gutter.
What time was that?
Oh, it must have been around 3:15. First, I thought it was just some stew bum, you know. Mm-hmm. But I saw that briefcase under his arm, then I realized it must have been an accident.
Well, you couldn't have gotten there much after it happened.
That's what cops told me.
You didn't notice any sign of a car around?
Nope.
Well, there couldn't have been too many cars out of that arm. This is very important to my client.
Look, Waring, if there was any way I could possibly help you, I'd be glad to. Any driver who pulls a stunt like that ought to get it in the neck.
Yeah, sure, but you can't tell me any more than you have, huh?
Not a thing. I'm sorry. I wish I could.
Well, here's your beer, gents.
I'm afraid I'll have to ask for a rain check, Jordan.
You going already?
Yeah, I got to. But I'll leave my card. If you think of anything...
Just leave it to me, Waring. If I think of anything, I'll know what to do.
Yeah?
Is Mr. George Alexander around?
Who wants to know?
My name is Artie Crane, but I don't think it'll mean much to him. Just say I'd like to talk to him about a yellow Buick convertible.
You what?
Tell him I admire his taste in cars.
You're nuts. Mr. Alexander doesn't own any convertible.
That's not what the license bureau told me.
Maybe you better come in, Buster.
Yeah, maybe I better.
Sit down. I'll get Alexander.
Hey, that's a nifty-looking piano he's got there. Mind if I try it?
Just so you don't break it.
That's very pretty, mister.
You like?
Yeah. What do you call it?
I've got those gimme, gimme blues.
A very original title.
I'm a very original guy, Mr. Alexander.
How so?
Well, 99 guys out of 100 who know what I know would have spilled everything to the cops.
But not you, huh?
Mm-mm. Little Artie knows when to keep his mouth shut.
For instance?
Keep out of this, Vince. Go on, Crane.
Well, for instance, last night I was coming home late and I saw a car bowl over some character who was crossing the street. Fortunately, I had enough presence of mind to copy down the license number.
And you think this car belongs to me?
Mm-hmm.
You're wrong.
Okay. I'm perfectly willing to leave it to Mike Waring.
The Falcon?
That's right. He's working for the daughter of the poor slob who got hit. He was around to see me this afternoon, wanted to know if I could help him.
And you told him?
Not a thing. I thought I could help you more.
How much more is worth?
Why, you dirty little...
Let go!
Should I throw him out, George?
Now, calm yourself, Vince.
Don't be so free with your hands,
you
mister.
Shouldn't blame... Vince never liked back.
Well, that little pushing around is going to cost you another five, Alexander.
What? Take it easy, Vince. You'd think the money was coming out of your pocket. So now you want $15,000, eh, Artie?
Otherwise, I go straight to Waring's and from there to the cops.
Well, I wouldn't want you to make such a trip on my account.
Then you better get it up.
Okay, Artie. You leave it to me. I'll take care of you. And when I get through, I bet you don't complain.
Now back to the adventures of the Falcon.
2 hours have passed since Artie Crane made his little call on Mr. Alexander. Now we find Mike making a call of his own. Only his isn't nearly as successful.
So when you come right down to it, Mr. Waring, you've made no progress at all.
Well, I could give you a big song and dance, Ruth.
No, thanks. I'm in no mood for entertainment.
You see, the truth of the matter is, I'm stymied. The only potential witness we had was this musician, Artie Crane.
And he couldn't tell you anything?
No, not a single solitary... Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
That briefcase your father was carrying...
That won't help you. They found it clear across the street where it was knocked by the car.
Well, if it was knocked there by the... Say that again. This Artie Crane character told me he realized that it wasn't some drunk sleeping it off when he noticed the briefcase under your father's arm.
What's wrong with that?
Hey, you just said it, Angel. The car sent that briefcase flying. If Crane saw it under your father's arm, it could only have been while your father was alive.
Then Crane was lying.
That he was.
Well, you think...
I think I ought to have another little talk with that boy.
Oh.
Let's see if we can get him up here.
He won't suspect anything?
Not if it's put to him the right way.
What'll you tell him?
Now, don't you worry, Ruth. I'll ad-lib something.
Hello?
Hello, I'd like to speak to Artie Crane, please.
Who wants him?
Mike Waring.
Well, Artie isn't here.
This Pete Jordan?
No, Pete isn't here either.
Well, where is everybody?
Unless there's been a change in plans, you might try the morgue. Hello, you still there, mister?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the top rock. Hey, wait a minute. Is this Sergeant Corbett?
Sure is, Mike.
All right, Corbett. Give it to me gently. Who did what to whom?
Well, whom is your friend Artie Crane? The what was a half dozen slugs through his head. As far as the who is concerned, we got no idea. Have you, Mr. Waring?
Coming.
Hello, Pete.
Oh, hiya, Mr. Waring.
Thought I'd drop around and redeem that rain check.
Rain check?
I asked for one the last time I was here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess you heard about Artie.
Mm-hmm. That his piano?
Yeah. To think he'll never touch it again.
Just how good was he on it?
Oh, you can have the Duke and Count Basie. I'd have taken Artie any time.
You a musician, too?
Yeah, but I wasn't in his class. I used to sing a little.
Oh. Well, how about an audition?
What do you mean?
Well, you never can tell, Pete. I may want to sponsor you. So let's hear how well you do in the voice department. Who killed Artie?
Now, look, you can't talk to me like that.
Come on, Pigeon, sing.
I did. Ouch. You wouldn't try that.
If your big brother was around.
Let me go.
Not before we have a soul. Now, who killed Artie?
How should I know?
You should, if anyone would. Who had it in for him?
No one. Everybody liked him.
Uh-huh. So one of his admirers pumped six slugs into his face so even his own mother wouldn't recognize him. Incidentally, how did you? There wasn't a thing on the body.
Well, I found him here.
Might have been a visitor from Mars.
Yeah, but he had a flag tattooed on his shoulder.
A patriot, no less. Who was the hit-and-run driver who killed Davis?
I don't know what you mean.
Yes, you do, Pete. Artie must have told you everything. He saw the car that killed Davis.
No, he didn't.
You know, you won't look so good singing without those dazzling white
teeth.
Well...
A fellow named Alexander.
Does this fellow have a first name?
George.
George? You mean Arthur tried to shake down George Alexander?
You know him?
Well enough to realize that Artie made a serious mistake trying it. Let's hope we all profit by his example.
That you, Vince?
Yeah.
How you make out?
Just look. All right, beautiful. Inside.
Stop that!
Inside.
Hello, Marcia.
You're not going to get away with this, Mr. Alexander.
I told you my friends called me George. You want to be my friend, huh?
No.
You're fooling. Sit down, baby.
You can't keep me here.
You can't keep me here. You can't do this. You can't do that. Why don't you give that tongue a rest?
All right, that's enough. Marcia and me, we understand each other. Well, don't we, sweethearts?
What do you want?
I just want to make sure you didn't tell anybody about our little ride. Get it, Vince?
What about Marcia?
What's the matter? Can a gentleman invite a lady up to his apartment? After all, we got you for a chaperone.
All right. Hold your horses, will you?
Hello, is George here? Oh, I see he is.
Wait a minute, Buster. Not so fast.
It's okay, Vince. This is the Falcon. He's an old friend of mine.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. Beg your pardon. Am I interrupting something?
No. Marcia, meet Mike Ware.
How do you do?
Well, generally I do all right, but I see George does even better.
Cute kid, eh?
Yes, indeedy.
Well, if you gentlemen are through discussing me, I'll say goodnight.
Hold it, sister.
He's got her hypnotized.
Vince just thought maybe I want to tell her something. It's okay, Marcia. I'll give you a call later.
All right, George.
You wish you were in my shoes, am I?
Hardly, George. I wouldn't care to face a murder rap.
I'm afraid I don't understand you, Waring.
Well, it stems from the manslaughter charge.
Manslaughter?
Mm-hmm. For killing Ralph Davis with your car last night. You know, Mr. D.A. could tell this story very effectively. It's got a wonderful moral, how one crime leads to another. Now, the opening scene would show you driving along.
Get out.
Well, you might let me finish, George. It's got great dramatic possibilities.
You heard him. Get out.
Who's this, little Sir Echo?
If you're not out of here by the time I count through...
You mean you're not interested in how my little script ends?
No. And you keep up like this, Mike, and you won't be around for the end.
Very interesting, Mr. Waring, but what happened after that?
That's all there was, Ruth.
You mean... You know who killed my father and you let him go?
I mean, he let me go.
He bought you off.
No, wait a minute,
oh,
Angel.
Sure, I was a fool not to see it before. But we'll see what the police think about...
Sit down.
Oh.
You listen to me, Ruth. I walked out on Alexander because there wasn't a thing I could do.
You know he ran over my father.
Yeah, sure I do, but where's our evidence? There isn't any way I could tie it to him. The only witness was murdered.
Well,
what?
You know he murdered Arthur Crane.
Can you prove that?
Well, it stands to reason...
Look, Angel... You can build as good a case against several other people.
Who, for example?
For example, you.
What?
Sure. You knew Artie Crane could identify the man who killed your father. And when he refused to give you any information, you murdered him.
That's the most ridiculous piece of...
Yes?
Mr. Waring?
That's right.
My name's Marcia West. I don't know if you remember me.
Oh, you underestimate your charms, Marcia. You're the kind of a girl my kind of man could never forget.
Well, I'd like to talk to you.
Well, what would be the point? I thought you were a close friend of Alexander's. What?
Yes, he was taking me home when he killed that man.
Where are you now?
At the place where I work. It's called the TikTok Club. When can I expect you?
Just open your door, Angel. I'm practically there now.
Come on, you creep. Snap into it. We haven't got all night. The show goes on in a few... Yeah, what do you want, mister?
Where's Marshall West's dressing room?
The first one on your left.
This one here?
Yeah, that's right. I don't keep her too long. She's on in 10 minutes. Come on, girls. Don't stand up.
Marsha?
She ain't here, Waring.
What?
No, just stay like you are, Morgan. Lock the door, Vince.
All right. Where is she, George?
Where is who?
Marsha. She called me from here not more than 15 minutes ago.
You say, Vince?
Was it that old hag with the mop?
And you boys ought to try television. That's a great act you've got there.
Well, I'm glad you like it. What did Marcia tell you on the phone?
Who?
Don't be smart.
Well, I just wanted to show you that two could play that game.
What'd you tell him?
Enough.
You know, I wouldn't need much excuse to paste you one right now, Buster, so don't tempt me.
What do you say, Mike?
I say you boys aren't very smart. There are a dozen people out there.
And they all work for me.
So start talking, pal.
Why, you...
Careful, chum.
Now, why you want to knock him down for Vince? You only got to pick him up again.
That's all right, Alex. I'm in very good shape. I can keep this up all night.
Sleeping Beauty, I didn't even have to kiss you to wake you up.
Huh?
Yeah, this isn't the Prince's Palace. It's Bellevue Hospital.
No kidding.
Okay, Mike, who slugged you?
First, I want to know where you found me, Sergeant.
On West 8th Street.
How did I get down there?
I can tell you one thing. I don't think you made it on foot.
Someone must have given me a lift.
Oh?
A character named Vince, working at the behest of George Alexander.
What do they want to do that for?
Because Alexander was the one who drove the car that killed Ralph Davis last night.
Last night?
Well, isn't it Sunday?
Where have you been? Don't bother answering, I know.
All right. What day is it?
Monday.
Holy smoke. Where's Marcia?
Who?
Marcia West. She was in the car when Alexander killed Davis.
She tell you that?
Yes, and I wouldn't be surprised if she knew all about the Artie Crane killing, too.
Is that tied up with this?
Definitely. You see, Crane tried to blackmail Alexander, and
not so fast. Can you prove that?
No, I can't hear Corbett. So let's go where I can.
Now back to the adventures of the Falcon.
A half hour has passed since Mike Waring set out with Sergeant Corbett to try to tie the case together. Their destination, the apartment of George Alexander.
You're a pretty sick man, Waring. You don't know what you're saying.
It's no use, George. We've got all the evidence we need. Right, Sergeant?
Right.
So why don't I hear from the district attorney?
You will, shortly.
You're still bluffing, Mike. Admit it.
All right, then how do I know you paid off to Artie Crane?
You know?
Yes, and I can prove it.
How about that, Mr. Alexander?
Well, you see, it's like this, Sergeant. It was no shakedown. I gave Artie the money.
Oh. Because you were impressed by his musical talents and wanted to see him further his career?
Why, Mike, you take the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, no.
Something wrong?
You don't think the DA will buy that?
Why not? If it's okay for me to help young ladies interested in musical careers, why not young men?
Sounds logical.
Oh, come on, Corbett, be smart. You don't believe that.
I didn't say it did. I just said it sounded logical.
That's all I ask.
Where's Vince?
Why?
I want to talk to him.
You're going to have a long wait. Vince leaves town Friday night.
Friday?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I suppose that was his double who bounced me around backstage at the TikTok club on Saturday.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, sure. Next, you'll say you never heard of a girl named Marcia West.
Of course I have.
Oh, sweetheart.
You call me, George?
Marcia.
This the girl you mean?
All right, never mind the act, George. Listen, Marcia. This is Sergeant Corbett. I want you to tell him everything.
Everything?
Yes, beginning with your call to me on Saturday night.
My call to you?
Don't you remember?
I don't see how I could be expected to, Mr. Waring, seeing this is the first time we've met.
What?
But it's been a real pleasure. Let's do it again sometime.
You know, Mike, maybe we ought to go back to the hospital. It's not a bad place. They got a couple of good-looking nurses there.
Okay, so I'm nuts, Sergeant. But just humor me a couple of minutes more.
I still don't see what you're going to accomplish with Pete Jordan.
I tell you, he knows that Artie Crane went to see Alexander.
That still don't prove anything. Crane could have gone to see Alexander for a million reasons.
Well, suppose Pete's willing to swear that he...
Yeah?
Well, if it isn't the gay troubadour. Hello, Pete, remember me?
Now, look, Waring, I'm busy.
Yeah, sure you are. This won't take much of your time. Did Artie Crane tell you he saw the car that killed Ralph Davis in that accident?
Well,
didn't he?
Yeah.
Get your coat, Jordan. We're going downtown.
Now, don't rush him, Sergeant. You might break the spell. As long as Pete's in the mood for singing, maybe he'll be willing to croon you something else.
I told you everything I know.
Not quite. There's one song you forgot. The one that goes, I killed my best friend and am I sorry.
What are you talking about?
The murder of Artie Crane. You know enough about that to give us a complete chorus. So start singing, Pigeon. Well, girls, that's the whole story. Alexander goes up for manslaughter and Pete Jordan for murder. Any questions?
I have one, Mike. So have I.
I think Marcia was first, Ruth. All right, go on, Marcia.
Well, first, I think I owe you an explanation.
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, Alexander made me say I didn't know you. He and Vince caught me phoning you that night.
Yes, I figured as much.
I was afraid of what he might do, not only to me, but to you.
Well.
I thought she had a question to ask. Oh, well, all I wanted to know is what made you suspect Pete Jordan.
Very simple thing, Angel. As you recall, when the police found Artie, there was nothing on him.
So?
So the question arises, Ruth. What happened to the hush money Alexander paid him?
I don't get it.
I pulled one bluff on Alexander that worked. The only reason he admitted giving money to Artie was that he thought I could prove he did.
And you couldn't?
No, because there was no money found on the body.
Oh.
And it stood to reason that Alexander and Vince didn't remove it. Otherwise, they would have known I was bluffing. So I figured maybe this was just a plain, everyday murder for money.
And once you realized that, it was just a matter of picking out the only party who had the opportunity.
That's right. That gave me Pete Jordan. But I'll tell you one thing this business taught me.
What?
Never take a case where two beautiful women are involved. Makes for complications.
How so?
Well, it's too much of a good thing. You know the old saying, two's company, three's a crowd.
He's got a point there, Ruth. He certainly has.
No, don't fight. I'm sure we can settle this peaceably.
I'm sure we can.
That's the spirit. Now, how are we going to work it?
That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, Mr. Waring.
Signal Gasoline. Let every traffic signal remind you, you do go farther with Signal. Yes, you do go farther with Signal. The Signal Oil Company and your neighborhood Signal dealer bring you another curious story by the Whistler. Tonight, the dead man laughed.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who've stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak. That a man should laugh is not strange. That Henry Baker laughed, and under the circumstances, was very strange. Or so the reporters seemed to think. But then they didn't know. They had no idea of why Henry laughed, and so they didn't see the humor of the situation. But suppose we start back at the beginning, and perhaps it will be clearer. In the beginning, there was Charles Finch. Charles Finch, aging, gray, growing bald, with a pronounced bulge at the girth. A man respected and admired in the community. President of a large construction company. Successful, or so it seemed. But it all started the day Charles Finch sat across the desk from his partner, Malcolm Guthrie. Big, bluff, and hard. And Charles said,
Guthrie, you can't do this to me. You can't!
Can't is a word you taught me never to use, Finch. And I learned the lesson well. I not only can, I'm doing it. In fact, I've done it. I am now sole owner of the Finch and Guthrie Construction Company, and you're out. Completely.
Malcolm, how can you do a thing like that? You know what this company means to me. I started it. I built it. Made it successful. Why, it's my whole life. I've sacrificed everything for it. Marriage, a home, happiness, everything. You can't know what you're doing to me.
Oh, Finch, you're a fool.
A fool?
Yes, a fool. If you gave up everything for this, a fool if you let it mean so much to you, a fool if you didn't protect yourself any better than you did. Well, I'm not a sentimentalist, Finch. I'm a hard-headed businessman. I saw my chance to feather my own nest, and I took it. You'd have done the same if you'd been smart enough. But you weren't. No. So I won. And you're finished.
You cold-blooded swindler.
Get out, Finch.
All right. All right, you don't have to throw me out. I'll go. But you haven't heard the last of me yet, Guthrie. I'll pay you back if it's the last thing I ever do.
Oh, yeah? I'm scared to death. What'll you do? Kill me, I suppose, eh?
Might not be a bad idea.
Yeah? Well, you'd better make it good, Finch. You'd better figure all the angles. Plenty of people know how you feel about me. And if they found me plugged, you'd try for it. And you know it. So you better figure something practically perfect, Finch. If you can.
Okay. Maybe I'll do that.
I'm not worried. You haven't got the guts or the brains. Go on, Finch. Beat it. Beat it. Get out of here, and I don't want to see you around here anymore.
Don't worry. You'll see me again. Only once more. And it'll be the last look you'll ever have of me or anyone. You're as good as dead now. So long, Guthrie.
With the prologue of tonight's story, The Dead Man Laughed, the Signal Oil Company brings you another of the strange tales of the Whistler. Now, before the story continues, the Signal Oil Company wants to pass along the War Production Board warning to drivers about increasingly serious shortage of tires. Due to stepped-up military needs,
the already low quota of new civilian tires for the first quarter of this year has been cut over 30%. Well, it's plain to see what this is going to mean. With so few new tires available, the only way to be sure your car will have tires is to keep your present tires in sound condition so they can be successfully recapped. Little injuries to the outer walls must be promptly repaired before they can spread and weaken the important inner carcass of the tire. And retreading must be done before the present tread is worn too thin. This requires two things. One, frequent inspection by the man with the experience and know-how of your Signal gasoline dealer. And two, the finer quality workmanship and materials that the name Signal stands for. Yes, and there's a third point. Your cooperation in not putting off this service until you have a flat and your tire is damaged beyond retreading. The tire shortage is now. Your tires need Signal's Go Farther service now. And the place to get it is your neighborhood Signal gasoline dealer. And now, back to the Whistler. Well, Charles Finch, Malcolm Guthrie has only himself to blame for what is coming, doesn't he? He gave you not only the motive for murder by swindling you out of your share of the company, he gave you also the idea for murder. His murder, which you promised to carry out. But how, Charles? How? You haven't figured that out yet, have you? And as Guthrie said, it has got to be good, very good. Because you don't want to die for it, do you? And so you rack your brains for the perfect crime, and you're lost in thought as you walk home along your usual path through the park. Lost in thought until...
Hey, mister.
Huh?
Mister, you couldn't help a fellow out, could you? I haven't had a bite to eat all day.
Oh, sure, I... Say, haven't I seen you around here before?
Well, maybe. I sort of stay here in the park sometimes, I... I haven't got a home to go to.
Yes, well, here's a quarter.
Gee, thanks, mister, thanks.
It's all right. Yes, it's all right.
Now what's on your mind, Charles? Why are you standing there, staring after the shabby tramp as he shuffles off to the hash joint on the corner? What's that look in your eye? And what did you mean by, it's all right?
Yes, that's it. Of course. What could be more perfect?
Yes, perfect, isn't it, Charles? The very idea you needed. And what makes it so funny is that Guthrie furnished this for you, too. It was he who, one day, as the two of you walked through this park, pointed out the tramp. Yes, the very same tramp. And what was it Guthrie called him?
A dead ringer. A dead ringer for me. Yes.
Yes, Charles. A dead ringer. Same age, same size, same graying, balding head, same paunch. It was a funny coincidence at the time. Now it's funny, but in a different way. Because that shabby old tramp has started the ideas going around in your head. And you follow him, don't you, Charles? Watching him go into the hash joint, order some food, and sit down. You pace up and down in front of the door, watching him eat. And by his manner, you realize something that's almost too good to be true. You go in and slip into the chair beside him.
You mind if I sit down here?
Yeah, huh? Oh, no. No, I guess not.
You know, I'm surprised you're able to eat sandwiches so well with your false teeth. I never can.
Oh, I get along all right. Say, it was swell of you to stake me to this. Maybe I can pay you back sometime.
Oh, forget it. You haven't got a job, have you?
Just who are you, mister? Cop?
Cop? Oh, certainly not.
What's your racket?
No racket, I assure you. This is strictly legal, strictly on the up and up.
Yeah? Well, I've been plenty careful so far. I ain't never been pulled in by the bulls, and I don't want to begin now.
I assure you, what I have to offer will get you in no trouble with the police.
What do you have, mister?
Oh, ham and eggs, please.
Okay. I'm listening.
Well, it's this way. I want you to help win a bet for me tonight.
Huh?
Yes, I have a friend of mine that, well, I bet him that I could pick up a hobo off the street, clean and dress him up, and pass him off as a polished businessman. I think you're the man I need. You're just about my size, so my clothes will fit you. And you can have them to keep afterwards.
And what else goes with them?
Oh, yes, yes. $100. I might even throw in a bottle of scotch, which is more valuable these days.
For one night's work. You got a lot of dough for just a joke?
Well, I'm not financially strapped, exactly.
No, I guess you're not. But, you're sure this is legal, all right? You know, I can't afford to take no chances.
Absolutely. Oh, here's my card. It has my address. I'll expect you there tonight.
Hey, this is a long walk. Way out...
Here's $5. That should get you there. And don't spend it on liquor. I'll have plenty of that and good stuff when you get there.
Okay. Don't worry. For the rest of this lettuce, I'll be there. With bells on.
Oh, we can do without the bells. As a matter of fact, since this is to be a surprise, be sure to keep it a secret. Better come in through the side door from the side street. And don't let anybody see you come in.
Huh?
Well, he might come early. I wouldn't want the joke spoiled just by his seeing you go in. He's taking chances.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll get in all right.
About 8, then?
Yeah.
Fine. Don't worry. You'll see. It'll be a great joke. In fact, it'll kill him.
Yes, it will, won't it, Charles? You've figured the perfect way to kill Malcolm Guthrie, and this tramp is going to be a big help. A big help. You'll never get another chance like this one. Never. Maybe that's why you're so nervous as you pace the floor of your home, waiting for him to come. Supposing he doesn't. Suppose he got drunk with that $5. Suppose he's lying in some gutter somewhere right now. You'd never find another perfect double like that. Even to the false teeth. You were a fool to trust the hobo, Charles. He's probably taken your $5 and headed out of town. But no, there he is, right on the dot of 8. And you breathe a sigh of relief as you open the door.
Hi, mister.
Well, hello. Come in, you're right on time. Glad you could come.
Well, some way out you got here. Hey, you weren't kidding when you said you was well-heeled.
Oh, it'll do. And it won't be long before you fit right into the surroundings as if it were yours.
Well, I don't know about that. I kind of feel like a fish out of water. But if you think so...
You were careful about coming in. Nobody saw you.
Oh, no. I'm sure nobody saw me. Wasn't nobody in sight.
Good. Now, if you'll just step into the bathroom over here, you'll find everything you need. Shaving things. Take a good close shave. A hot shower. Then put on the clothes I have hanging there.
Christmas! Look at that! A real monkey suit. And brother, silk underwear.
Yes, put it all on. Don't leave off a thing. Everything will fit you, I'm sure.
Hey, this is almost like a dream. I never thought I'd be decked out in a monkey suit like this until I was laid out for me home funeral.
A monkey suit for his funeral. He doesn't know how right he is, does he, Charles? And Guthrie, if he only knew what plans were unfolding. You wait impatiently for the tramp to complete his change. It's very important that it be complete, that he resemble you closely. Will he? Did you figure it right? Well, you'll know in a moment. The door opens and you clench your fist.
Well, how's this?
I wouldn't have believed it.
Not bad, huh?
Perfect.
Hey, how's about a slug of that stuff you promised me?
Oh, yes, certainly the scotch. Here, I'll pour you a glass.
You know, I did just like you said. I didn't have a drink all day. Hey, that looks like good stuff. Don't see much of that anymore.
Yeah, try this.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, that hits the spot. You know, I think I'm going to like this kind of life.
Here, have another. Help yourself to the bottle.
No fooling. Well, thanks. Hey, when do we get the payoff in this joke?
Oh, any minute now.
By the way, what's your name?
Baker. Henry Baker.
Baker.
That one tastes just like another. Hey, you know, this is the life. Funny thing, I almost didn't come up here.
No? Why not?
Oh, I don't know. Seems sort of fishy. Money guy like you picking me up to do a job for real lettuce? I figured there must be some catch to it somewhere. But all I gotta say now is that... Hey, what's up? What's the big idea? Look, what's the gun for? You ain't gonna... Hey, mister, cut it out. No, don't shoot.
That's it, Baker. End of joke.
Okay, Charles Finch. That's the first step. Or should I call you Henry Baker, who answers the description of Charles Finch, lying dead on the floor, his face disfigured just enough. Now it's a simple matter to take out his false teeth, exchange them with yours, put on the clothes of the tramp, and then, quickly, sprinkle kerosene over the body, the room, and set a match to it. In 5 minutes, the fire is spread to the drapes, the furniture, and now it's time to get out, fast. Not too fast, Charles. No one in sight. But don't hurry. Now at the corner, pause, look around. Not a soul in sight. You're clear, Charles Finch. Oh, pardon me, Henry Baker. Charles Finch lies dead in his home, doesn't he? The flames licking away any telltale identification and completing your job. And you're on your way to pay a debt. But take it slowly, Charles. Tomorrow, Thursday, will be Guthrie's chauffeur's day off. He'll drive home tomorrow night by himself. And you'll be waiting beside the garage. Until then, you take a room in a cheap hotel. You're Henry Baker, hobo, now. The next day, you stop in and see about the ticket you ordered for Mexico. It'll be ready Friday afternoon, the day after you get Guthrie. Just right. Perfect. Everything's all set. All you have to do is wait for tonight. And how would Henry Baker do that? Why, sit in the park, of course.
Hiya, brother. Got a match?
Yeah, sure. There you are. How's it going?
Okay. Same as usual, I guess.
Ain't it the truth? It's getting tough to be on the street these days. Well, like as not, a guy will just come up and offer you a job right on the street.
Say, that your paper there?
Yeah.
Mind if I take a look?
Oh, go ahead.
Thanks.
Wealthy clubman murdered. Say, is that in this town?
Yeah.
Jiminy, somebody's always bumping somebody else off.
Yeah, it seems so.
Yeah, this guy was burnt up. Couldn't hardly identify him, it says here.
Yeah, except his dentist identified his false teeth.
I read it.
Yeah, probably some dame.
Sounds like a dame.
Playing with fire.
Hey, what am I laughing about? Only means trouble to me.
Trouble?
Sure, them dumb cops. When they can't find the right guy in one of them things, they come down here and run us all in.
You mean they arrest us bums?
Sure. Just a routine roundup. You know, like they're always doing. Keep us there a couple of days just so they can tell the newspapers they got some suspects. Well, I hope they get that guy real quick. Otherwise, me and you better hit the road for a while.
Yeah, I'm not worried. That's just what I plan to do, hit the road. But I got a couple of things to attend to first. Yeah, just a couple.
Yes, Charles, another 24 hours and you'll be on your way to Mexico. Free and revenge. But now it's time to get started. At 11, you're waiting in the shadows by Guthrie's garage. He's always arrived home from the club about this time. Everything is perfect for the climax.
Up with your hands.
What is this?
Get back in the garage and you'll find out.
Okay.
All right, keep your hands up.
If it's money you want, my wallet is...
I'm not interested in your money.
I don't understand.
Turn around, you'll see what I mean.
I still don't get it.
Maybe if I stepped into this shaft of moonlight.
Finch.
Yes, Guthrie. Are you surprised?
But the papers. Papers said you were dead. Murdered.
Yes, I know. You thought I was dead, and so did the police. It's just what I wanted them to think. Now, when they find you, they'll never dream Charles Finch could have done it, will they? After all, a dead man can't kill, can he?
Look, Finch, you don't know what you're doing. You can't do this.
Can't I? You told me that once before. Said I didn't have brains enough or guts enough. But now you see your mistake. I did have guts enough. I've killed a man. I did have brains enough because the police think that man was Charles Finch. So I'm free. I'll never be caught for this.
Look, Finch. Finch, let's...
Keep your hands up.
Let's talk this over.
Keep your hands up.
All right. I'll pay you anything. Give you the business.
I've got enough to take me to Mexico. Start over after I take care of you.
Finch, give me a chance. For God's sake, I'll do anything you say.
That's right. Get down on your knees. Crawl, Guthrie. Crawl. That's the way I've wanted to see you.
I'll confess everything. Confess it all. Give you back everything. Do anything. I say, Finch. Don't. Don't!
Well, Charles, your revenge is complete. And back in your shabby hotel room, you sleep soundly. There's no qualm of conscience, no ache of remorse as you walk through the park next morning. You did what you had to do, and you're satisfied. All that needs to be done now is to go to the ticket office and get your passage to freedom. It's all so simple, isn't it?
Hey, Paul.
Hmm? Me?
Yeah, you. Come on. Get going.
Huh? What's the matter? Cops?
Come on. Don't waste time. Come on. It's like I told you yesterday, a roundup. Only I didn't expect it so soon. Come on. Get moving. If we stroll out the other end of the park, they may miss us. They started back there and... Uh-oh.
Okay, you two. Wait a minute.
What's the matter, copper? I ain't done nothing.
Never mind. Get over there and get in the wagon. You too, bum.
But, officer, you have no right
to... Is that so? I said get over there and get in the wagon.
But I've done nothing.
Tell that to the show-up crowd. Come on. You're going in.
Ah, this is something you hadn't counted on, isn't it, Charles? But then there's nothing to worry about, is there? They can't possibly connect the hobo Henry Baker with the murders. And your friend the other hobo told you they'd only keep you a couple of days. That means only that your trip will have to be delayed a little. But what difference does that make as long as you get away in the end? You're fingerprinted and photographed and stood up in the line under the lights. But you're not worried. Not really.
Step forward when I call your name. Alonzo Allen. Alonzo Allen, alias Allen James, vagrant, 37, 5 feet 10, 132, dark complexion, brown eyes, brown hair. Picked up on suspicion. Rearrest for vagrancy. All right, step back. Henry Baker.
Yes? Yes, I'm Henry Baker.
Henry Baker, vagrant, 54, 5 feet 8, 170. Gray hair, blue eyes, picked up on suspicion. No record.
Something is wrong. You sense it, don't you, Charles Finch? As the silence lengthens, you stand there straining. The perspiration pops out on your forehead. You listen intently, waiting for that step back. Your eyes strain into the blackness out there, but you can't make anything out. Not even those faces staring up at you. What's wrong? How could anything be wrong?
Henry Baker, step down. No, not that way, out here. We want to ask you some questions.
What did you say your name was?
Henry Baker.
What other names have you used?
None.
Sure of that?
Of course I'm sure. My name's Henry Baker.
Okay. Now, take a look at those.
What? They're just fingerprints?
Yes, your fingerprints. The ones we made a few minutes ago.
Well?
Take a good look. Notice the little whorls there. Very distinctive ones, see?
Yes.
Okay, now take a look at these. Notice anything different?
No.
Neither do I. They're the same fingerprints. They're yours, and it doesn't take an expert to see it.
So what?
So nothing. Only this second set of prints we got off of a liquor glass in the burned house of a guy who was murdered a couple of days ago. Guy by the name of Charles Finch. That name familiar to you?
I never heard of him.
Okay, that's your story. But we're booking you. Booking you for murder.
That's not all of tonight's story. The Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending of tonight's tale. Meantime, here are two tips for making today's rationed gasoline go farther. Tip number one is from Uncle Sam. It's carpooling, and it's saving gasoline for millions of motorists. Take the case of four men driving to work, each in his own car. By riding together, three of the men can leave their cars at home. Gasoline, tires, and wear and tear are saved on three cars. Yes, carpooling really works. And now tip number two. This one is from thousands of Western motorists who for years have kept track of their gasoline mileage and found they do go farther with Signal gasoline. Do I hear you saying, but today's gasolines aren't what they used to be? True, certain ingredients which gave gasolines their... But there's the important point. Today, as always, Signal is producing the finest quality gasoline that can be made. And Signal still places the emphasis on mileage. If you haven't tried Signal in your car, it's high time you discover that all of today's gasolines are not the same. Invest your next ration coupons in the famous longer mileage gasoline, Signal Go Farther gasoline. And now, back to the Whistler.
Yes, Charles Finch, you forgot about the fingerprints. You made the mistake of pouring the tramp a glass of liquor. The glass was found beside the body. Of course, later they found your prints all over what was left of the home, and so they booked you for murder. But then, not exactly you, Charles Finch. They booked Henry Baker for the murder. They convicted Henry Baker. They sent him to the execution chamber. And the reporters wondered why. Just before the switch was thrown, you threw back your head and laughed. Laughed long and loudly, until suddenly you could laugh no more. They didn't see the humor in the situation. You were the only one who saw that. Because you were the only one who knew you were being executed for your own murder. The murder of Charles Finch. You couldn't tell them who you really were without exposing yourself to another murder, that of Malcolm Guthrie. So you died for murdering yourself. And when you laughed, it was a dead man laughing.
Monday at 9 o'clock, the Whistler will bring you another strange tale, the curious story of how murder opens a gate. The Whistler is broadcast for your entertainment by the marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil and fine quality automotive accessories and by your neighborhood Signal dealer. This program, directed by George W. Allen, with tonight's story by Lewis Herman, music by Wilbur Hatch, is transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Bob Anderson speaking, and suggesting that you let every traffic signal remind you you do go farther with Signal gasoline. Yes, you do go farther with Signal. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed our stories this time. You can find more from The Falcon, The Whistler, this podcast, and all of the other Relic Radio shows at relicradio.com. There's a Shoutcast stream there as well with more 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, lots to listen to. All made possible by your support. If you'd like to help out, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links on the website. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this week. Talk to you again tomorrow with Case Closed, and next Tuesday with our next episode of the Relic Radio Show.